Good morning and welcome. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Even when we're going through difficult times, God is still good, especially when we're going through difficult times. As Donald Trump would say, he's a good, good God, a very good God, the best God. Last week, we began our study in 1 Corinthians. This morning, we're going to continue that. We're going to be talking about Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. And we're going to start out by beginning in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. As we closed out last week, Paul told the people that he wasn't charged with charming the people with good looks or with eloquent speech, nor was he here to talk the people into the kingdom with persuasive arguments. Rather, he was charged with teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, and allowing the Holy Spirit to use the Holy Spirit's power to lead people to Christ. I think sometimes it is so important for us to understand that we cannot talk someone into the kingdom. We can't argue them into the kingdom. We can't beg them into the kingdom. We simply preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. We are commanded to make disciples. We are called to preach the gospel. We are forbidden from adding things to it, and we're forbidden from leaving things out. We should never be found to be trying to make our God more palatable to the masses. And we see that often today when people say that we're haters or that we're not people who love others who are different, that we're not inclusive. Rather, we preach the gospel and nothing more, but also nothing less. People can only be saved through Jesus Christ, not the Jesus that I make up or the Jesus that Joel Osteen makes up, nor the Jesus that anyone else makes up. It is only the Jesus of the Bible that is mighty to save. It's easy for humans to get discouraged when few follow, when we preach to others and we tell them the good news and this exciting relationship that we have with the Lord, only for them to turn their backs on God. It's easy to become discouraged and disheartened. We're not really responsible for that. We're responsible for teaching the gospel and then putting our faith in God that he will call them to repentance. To begin this week, Paul implies that the teaching of the gospel is missing in the church in Corinth. The message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. The word is not capable the world is not capable of understanding the message of the cross. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that the message is understood. Paul is reflecting on Isaiah 29:14, and he says, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people. With wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Those that are deemed to be wise with the wisdom of the world, though it may sound convincing, fall short. And they don't even know that they're missing the puzzle, that they're missing the big picture. We've all encountered those who have persuasive arguments for why we should be buying into the scientific community. It's the science of this or the science of that. And while certainly science contributes a great deal to our world and to our life, science would say that no one could be resurrected after 3 days, and yet our Lord was. The scientific community would say it's impossible for a virgin to give birth to a child, and yet, had we listened to science, we wouldn't be following Jesus Christ, because although science is profitable and science is good in many areas, in areas of faith, science falls short. In 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 20, it says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Corinth had no lack in those who thought they were wise. The scribes had wisdom. They were the people that kept the records and copied books, and they were a knowledgeable group of people, someone that you would naturally be drawn to if you were seeking information or if you were seeking understanding. And then we had the Jews in Corinth that were well studied in the Bible. And of course, Paul, the greatest of these, a Jew among Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he understood the Bible and knew the Bible well, but even he, in the beginning, missed Jesus, because Jesus isn't something that can just be read in a book. It is Jesus that we come to know. We come to know through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the city of Corinth, you would have had then the Jews that would be able to teach the word and of our God, Yahweh. But also then you had the Greeks, who were very knowledgeable. 300 years it has been since Plato wrote and philosophized. And they were very persuasive in their speech. And they knew all about existential thought and the way the mind works and this advancement, as it were, of the human mind. But they were missing one very important element. And that is, no matter what our knowledge is, if our knowledge is outside of the Holy One of Israel, our knowledge is lacking. The wisdom that we may have, if our wisdom isn't based in the Lord Jesus Christ, our wisdom is lacking. Then came the disciples and the apostles into this godless community of people who thought themselves knowledgeable, who thought themselves wise. And because he didn't come as the wise of the Jews had determined, because Jesus didn't come the way the Jews had thought he should come, they rejected him. Instead of coming as powerful, as king, as mighty, he came as weak and poor, vulnerable, and mortal. They were looking for that warrior. They were looking for that king, a man of means to throw off the yoke of hundreds of years of foreign oppression. In their wisdom, they didn't realize that the threat wasn't Rome or Babylon or Assyria or Egypt. Their threat was the sin life that they had, that they didn't know who God was and what he required. The prophets that God sent were faithful in teaching the word of God. They told the people what they needed and what they needed to know and how they needed to act and what they needed to understand and to, where to seek that wisdom and their guidance. And still in all their wisdom, they couldn't see what was shown to them. They couldn't hear what was told. Malachi had told them, or Micah had told them in 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? So they had what they needed, and they still missed it. And they are missing it still. And so now all of this wisdom of this world, this Greek philosophy, this Jewish insight, and worldly teachings are beginning to seep into the church. And people are being very persuasive. And they're guiding and leading the people, but they're leading and guiding them in the wrong way. They're leading and guiding them away from the truth. Paul is telling them, you've tried this way. This way was abolished when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Why are you going back there? The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. The power of God is Jesus Christ. And in the church and outside the church, as they're following their own ways and the wisdom of the world, justice isn't being heeded. The wealthy succeed in legal matters, while those that are poor rot in jail. The wealthy are eating well and living well, while foreigners are mistreated. Widows and orphans go without housing, without food. God was rarely considered, and when he was, it was only because someone needed something. Walking humbly with him gave way to pride and false wisdom, trying to do things on their own when they perceived that God wasn't listening. The most important thing that they missed was the redemption through the Messiah. It's a missing element, but when the church isn't teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are leading the people away from Jesus Christ. There aren't many paths that lead to the truth. There is only one path. And you're either following that path and leading people on that path, or you're leading people away. Usually because the leaders aren't on that path themselves. And we see it today all over Christendom, churches that appeal to the masses. They want to welcome everyone, and indeed everyone is welcome at the foot of the cross. But it's not us that draws them. It's not us that is supposed to create inventive ideas to lure people in as though we're luring them to a trap. The gospel needs no ornaments or adornment, only the power of the Holy Spirit. We all know what it's like to tell a scoffer about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. They mock it as foolishness. They can't believe that Jesus rose again because it doesn't make sense. The scientific community would say no one that has been dead for 3 days can rise again. It's a scientific impossibility, at least in the minds of the wise. And they would argue that he wasn't really dead, or it's nothing more than a fable. And Paul is telling the people in Corinth, a few of the things that we need to take note of as believers and as people seeking to believe. First of all, we're to teach nothing except the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. Second, we're not responsible for the response as long as we're faithful to teach what we're told to teach. We're not to try to talk someone into salvation. It is foolishness to the wise. So even if you're able to argue the Bible, even if you're able to have eloquent speech, and yes, you should use what you know and use what you have, but leading someone there and talking them into the kingdom doesn't save them. It is only Jesus Christ that saves. And finally, to have faith in God, Jesus is his wisdom and his strength. So we shouldn't become discouraged when we don't see people responding to the gospel. We shouldn't become discouraged when we're looking at churches that are empty, not just because of the pandemic, but all across our land, churches regularly were empty on Sunday morning or had few. And it's easy to become discouraged and to take it personally. And we're not responsible for that. God is responsible. The Holy Spirit will draw. We're responsible to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. In 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 26, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that as it is written, let no one boast, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, proclaiming Christ crucified. So to begin with, you have to understand a little bit about Paul. He was true to his word. He said, don't add anything to the scripture. I don't want you taking anything away from the scripture. And so he's very cut and dry in what he teaches. He doesn't tend to make things flowery. He doesn't try to offend people, but he doesn't shy away from it. And he literally begins this section, to put it in the vernacular, by saying, you know, I want you to think about yourselves. You weren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. You're not the wealthiest people around. You weren't the strongest people around. He's really building them up. You're not noble. Very few of you were the cream of the cream, or la creme de la creme. Most of you were at a lower level in life, the poor, the weak, the somewhat obtuse or dull. He's not trying to offend them. He's just pointing out some facts. God doesn't choose those he calls according to worldly standards. In fact, it's those that think of themselves as wise or strong or powerful or rich that often find it most difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's trying to draw a distinction between God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world. And often we think of ourselves as wise, but without God, what we have to offer is empty. No one can boast of their salvation. We can't buy ourselves into the kingdom. I can't save anyone. And if I could save them, I don't have a kingdom to take them to. We're not able to talk someone into the kingdom, and we need to be very careful and very diligent when we're presenting the gospel, of how we present the gospel, about who Jesus is and what is required. It is because of him that we are in Christ Jesus. He has become to us the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We only have room to boast as we boast in the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." As we look around the world today, and as it suffers under the weight of a pandemic, pastors are overworked and stretched thin, and often fumbling with an explanation because the old questions come up. Why would God allow this? And what is God doing? And is God not powerful enough to stop this? Paul said, "I lived through those days with you. I came to you not with lofty words and with great arguments. I didn't come to you teaching anything. The only thing I came to you knowing was Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't have all the answers, nor are we as believers required to give answers. Our answer to every question is the gospel message. We don't have the wisdom of God, and we don't know his ways. He's deep and unknowable on many levels, at least far more than we could ever know. And on the same token, he loves us and has a relationship with us and pours into us and cares and talks to us. But as we're representing God, as we're representing the church, what we know is Jesus Christ and him crucified, the power of God, the wisdom of God. He uses himself as an example. During those days in Corinth, there was so much going on in the city and so many pagan religions floating around. Of course, the Jews were worshiping the right God, but they had missed the Messiah. And then you had Christians, and Paul is trying to draw a distinction here. He's telling them, you're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. As they're being pushed on heavily by Rome as believers, he's saying, don't react like the world. Don't respond like the world. Instead, keep in mind Jesus Christ and him crucified. The pursuit of wisdom, of course, is a lofty goal. Solomon asked for it, and we're told in Psalm 1:11, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is a wisdom, though, that leads to salvation. And it doesn't always make sense to the world. But if the world calls something foolish, and yet that leads to eternal life, who then is the fool? Paul concludes this section by setting an example. He arguably knew the Bible probably better than almost anyone in the city. He was well-read and well-learned. He knew not only the scripture, but he knew the pagan religions and their customs and their teachings. He was undoubtedly able to argue people into corners with his knowledge. And we have all run into people who had really this great mind who could probably talk us into a corner. We've all met people that had the ability to make us question, well, where am I missing it, or where are my weaknesses at? And yet, Paul was able to do that. Paul was able to have that knowledge and to be able to think quickly and to speak eloquently. And imagine the number of people he told about the gospel. And yet only a fraction of those people heard it. Even though they heard the sound waves, they heard the words Jesus, they heard the words cross, they heard the word resurrection, they still didn't get it. In fact, most of the people we tell will not get it. We can pray for them, we can continue to share the love of Jesus, but we cannot talk someone into the kingdom. In short, Paul is drawing this beautiful picture of salvation. It's available to anyone. They don't have to have a big IQ or a big pocketbook. The beauty of the gospel is that it is open to the lowly as well as the powerful, the poor as well as the wealthy, the weak, the homeless, the broken, those without hope, those who are in need. And indeed, as we are spending time sharing on Facebook and sharing in all the different ways we do, via email and posts and whatever it may be, whether we're tweeting or TikToking or I'm not sure all of the other ways that we're communicating, Zooming and what we need to be representing, what we need to be teaching is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't know how all of this that we're going through unfolds, but I know how all of this that God created ultimately unfolds. And it unfolds with a new heaven and a new earth for those who believe in the name of Jesus, those who worship Him and are saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are an awesome God and a mighty God. Father, we thank You for Paul and his straightforward teaching, that it's not the eloquent words, that it's not the extra teaching, that it doesn't take money or strength or power, but rather the humility to listen to the voice of God, the faith to believe in the resurrection, in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Father, we thank You that You love us enough, that You provided a way for us to be reconciled to You. Truly, You are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.